Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Tribal citizens in and outside Alaska recently voted to elect new delegates and community council members to represent them in the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. This election, Juneau welcomed 9 new delegates and 11 returning delegates, who will each serve a 2-year term. Nearly 50 people ran for the 20 delegate spots. Delegates will be sworn in later this spring. At 20 delegates, Juneau has allocated the largest number of seats compared to any other community in the tribe in this election. But that wasn't always the case. At last year's Tribal Assembly, delegates narrowly approved an amendment to reduce the maximum number of delegates from urban communities like Anchorage, Seattle, and San Francisco to 4 each. Proponents for the change says it gives rural tribal citizens more of a voice, but some argued it would limit representation for larger groups of Tlingit and Haida people. The change meant that Seattle, which was formerly tied with Juneau at 25 delegates, was reduced to just 4 this election, despite having the most enrolled tribal citizens of any community. Anchorage was reduced from 15 to 4 delegates. The regional tribal government has a total of 76 delegates. The Tribal Assembly consists of elected delegates from 22 recognized communities. Tribal delegates are responsible for representing tribal citizens in their communities and determining the tribe's positions on issues impacting citizens. Any delegate may submit a resolution for the Tribal Assembly's consideration. Community councils are political subdivisions of the tribe and represent the different recognized communities. Community councils support programs, cultural activities, and events that strengthen community ties. Community council members do not vote during Tribal Assembly unless they're also a delegate. Delegates will convene in Juneau in late September for the 91st Annual Tribal Assembly. To see a list of Juneau's new and current Tlingit and Haida delegates and community council members, go to this story on ktoo.org. More than 1,000 people gathered at Juneau's Overstreet Park on Saturday to participate in the third No Kings protest held nationwide to push back against President Donald Trump's policies and actions. KTOO's Clarice Larson was there and has a story.
We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved.
It was a chilly Saturday afternoon in downtown Juneau. But that didn't stop hundreds of protesters like Kathleen Jorgensen from gathering to sing and chant for the third No Kings protest, hosted in Juneau and nationwide. Jorgensen says she refuses to accept the cold and wore a bright, flowery hat.
It's spring, and I don't care what Mother Nature says, it is spring.
The No Kings protest series began following President Donald Trump's return to office. The previous No Kings protest was held in October. This time around, it's estimated that more than 3,000 events were held across the U.S., including in several Alaska communities. Advocates say the protests are meant to push back against the Trump administration and the president's actions, which resemble those of a monarch. Since the last protest in October, a lot has happened. The U.S. has launched military operations in Venezuela and Iran, and immigration enforcement has rapidly escalated nationwide. For Jorgensen, she says it's important to come together in protest and resist what she describes as growing acts of authoritarianism by the president.
The more times we come out, the more people that won't be afraid to join us next time. And so this is my third No Kings, and I will be at the 4th and the 5th and the 17th and the 23rd and the 107th if that's what it takes.
A handful of speakers were invited to talk to the crowd, including Heidi Dragas, the executive director of the Alaska State Employees Association, Alaska's largest public employee union. Dragas called on the crowd to push back against the Trump administration's actions that are negatively impacting Alaskans' well-being.
We must keep showing up. We must keep showing up. Every time. We cannot rest on our freedoms and our democracy. We must be the change that we want to see in this world.
Trump has continually rejected the accusations that he's acting like a king and has scorned the protests. Despite that, demonstrators in Juneau stayed in the cold for about an hour, singing and chanting in unison. Shona Osterhout led protesters in singing the protest song Freedom by Beyoncé.
Because I need freedom too. I break chains all by myself. Won't let my freedom run in hell. Hey, I'ma keep running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And the 51st Annual Folk Fest will feature about 125 acts on the main stage. And that's just one piece of a much larger production. Beyond it, performances fill the dance hall at the Jack, and a full schedule of workshops adds to the mix. So how does it all come together? KTOO's Mike Lean spoke with the Folkfest board president, Josh Fortenberry, about the logistics behind the festival and what it takes to make it run smoothly.
The Alaska Folk Festival is coming up April 6th through the 12th, and the Alaska Folk Festival board president, Josh Fortenberry, joins us in the studio. Josh, the 51st annual Alaska Folk Festival, it's coming up quick. There's going to be performers from all around Alaska and from all over the lower 48. How many performers are going to participate this year in total?
So, you know, I don't know if I know the exact number of total performers. We have about 125 acts on the main stage, and then about 12 acts in the dance hall at the Jack, and then somewhere around 32 different workshops going on.
How do you get so many performers to come to Juneau and perform? I mean, what's the board's process on that?
Well, you know, part of it is just this festival has become kind of legendary among musicians because it's all about the music. It's not about anything sort of commercial or trying to make money or trying to get sponsorships. It's just here for the joy of music. So a lot of people return year after year. This year we had over 200 applications for 125 slots on the main stage.
So how do you select performers for this?
It's a little bit science, a little bit art. You know, we really try when we have this many applications to get as many people on stage as possible. So, you know, it's a lot harder sometimes for us to find slots for all the solo performers. A lot of times we try to get bands up there first. You know, we have a few solo performers, probably 5 to 7 every concert. There's 9 concerts. But then, you know, we're trying to get bands up there so we get as many people on stage as possible. And then for the solo acts, you know, we try not to waitlist people too many years in a row. We do our best to get people up there who've been waitlisted in the past. There's certainly no audition. We don't listen to anyone's music ahead of time. We read their application. We see what days they're available. And that's the other thing, you know, for people traveling, often they're only available Thursday through Sunday. So, you know, there's a lot of competition for those slots, and we do our best to get as many people on stage as we can.
Earlier you said it's not about the money. However, how does Alaska Folk Festival, Inc. pay for and organize such a huge event?
Yeah, so really we have 3 kind of key revenue streams. The biggest one is member donations. So we have a little over 800 members now, and they all, you know, have varying levels of contributions. But they are our primary funder. We sell ads for the program every year. That's another way we pay for some of the festival. And then we sell merchandise. So we have an artist every year who designs our poster. We use that poster art to make merchandise. We sell merchandise at the festival.
I'm glad you brought up the artist because I wanted to ask you about the guest poster artist, Savannah LeCornu.
Savannah's a self-taught artist from Ketchikan, Alaska. She was a recipient of the Native American Fellowship from UCross, where she did a residency in 2022. She created sort of an incredible poster for us this year, which sort of features some Northern Lights and the downtown cityscape of Juneau and some musicians. And we're super excited about the art we got.
In addition to all the performers, there's a lot of people who travel to Juneau for Folk Fest. So do you know how many people typically attend?
We usually estimate that our program gets 5,000 to 6,000 views every year. So that's a pretty good estimate of the number of attendees of the main hall. Now, there are a lot of people who come to town to participate in the shows at the bars around town or just to jam who don't maybe come to the main hall. So probably somewhere north of there. Right now we are working on getting Grant to do an economic impact study to sort of figure out exactly how many people come to town, how much money we bring into Juneau every year, to sort of help the city understand what a big impact the festival has on Juneau.
With that in mind, how many venues are we talking about?
So, I mean, the things that we run really are just Centennial Hall and the Jack. So the board itself puts on the festival that happens here. But there are, luckily a lot of local businesses participate. So this year I know that there's going to be shows at the Crystal Saloon, at Devil's Club Brewing, at the Alaskan Hotel, at the Red Dog Saloon. In the past we've had shows at the Imperial. There's going to be pop-up stuff all around town. I know that, you know, Amalga Distillery always welcomes jammers in there. And you'll see musicians sort of everywhere in every business all around town.
And there's workshops too, correct?
There are workshops. So there's workshops all day Saturday and Sunday. Those take place in Centennial Hall and the Jack. And they feature workshops put on by our guest artist, Willie Carlisle, our guest dance band, the Red Hots, our guest dance caller, Connor. So there's going to be, you know, a really great series of workshops. And a lot of these are put on by people who are professional musicians who are coming to donate their time, who are just attending the festival for fun.
How can the public help keep the Alaska Folk Festival going in the future?
The best way is to become a member of the festival. So the lowest member level is $25. You can now have a recurring donation. That really helps us make sure this remains free, open to the public. All of our workshops are completely free to everyone. But the other way is volunteering. So, you know, no one on the board is paid. other than the people who run sound for us, no one who's putting on the festival is paid at all. So we have hundreds of volunteers every year who help us set up the stage, who help us sell merch, who help us sort of put on the workshops. So signing up to be a volunteer for the festival is also a great way to help if you can't make a financial contribution.
That was the Alaska Folk Festival Board President Josh Fortenberry speaking with KTOO's Mike Lane. The 51st Alaska Folk Festival starts April 6th and runs through April 12th in Juneau. And an 18th candidate joined the race to be Alaska's next governor last week. Attorney Greg Brelsford threw his hat in the ring last Tuesday as an independent candidate. The 75-year-old has spent time as an Anchorage prosecutor, a municipal manager in Bristol Bay, and the CEO of the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association. He also ran unsuccessfully for U.S. House following the death of Congressman Don Young. Brelsford said he's running to be what he calls, quote, Alaska's education governor, unquote. He says Governor Mike Dunleavy and his Republican allies in the legislature have badly underfunded public education across the state.
They've abandoned and betrayed and sold out our K-12 students and their teachers and their parents.
He pointed in particular to Dunleavy's vetoes of various efforts to raise public school funding. Lawmakers overrode two of those vetoes last year to increase basic per-student funding by 12%. For his part, Dunleavy has consistently said he's not convinced funding alone will improve students' achievement and raise Alaska's lagging test scores. Brelsford says he plans to put $200,000 of his own money towards his run. He wants to begin his campaign in rural Alaska.
I came of age in rural Alaska. I've spent years and years in villages, small towns, and both tribal and local government organizations through a large part of rural Alaska. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time introducing myself to people there.
From there, he says he'll see what kind of momentum he can build. Candidates have until June 1st to join the race. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 30 degrees and snowing, and there is a winter weather advisory in effect until 4 a.m. tomorrow. This is KTOO.